evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is October 13th, 2016. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, I'm in Boulder, and I came from Texas. I was in Texas for the weekend, and we had a fantastic lunch in Dallas. 23 wonderful subscribers from both Texas, the Dallas area. Some came up from Austin, and we even had one wonderful subscriber fly in from Atlanta. So it was just terrific to see you all, and we had a blast. I'm going to be in Tulsa this weekend, and we are converging from all four directions to have the launch party for the Joseph P. Farrell Pipe Organ crowdfund. You're going to be seeing more from that on the website in a week or two when we launch the website and the real real request for support. We're going to be at Kilkenny's Irish Pub in Tulsa from 7 to 11 p.m. And if you haven't had a chance to buy tickets, or we'll sell you a ticket at the door. Come on out. It's going to be a really great event. And it's one of those events where you can ask Joseph and me any question you want. Our theme tonight is Midi Night 101, and that's because in the United States we're watching tremendous competition between two different groups. A lot of the establishment is kind of organized around the Clinton campaign or pulled in their horns in supporting them, the Washington establishment, both Republican and Democrat. But there's some serious competition going on. The campaign is still not over, although some people are trying to declare it is. It's really not. When I talk about the Midianite thing, I'm referring to the story of Gideon in the Bible from Judges chapter 6 through 9. It's my favorite Bible story, and it's about Gideon's army coming down the side of the mountains with lanterns and pitchers. And the Midianites who've occupied Israel are so hateful and suspicious of each other that they jump up in the dark and kill each other. And we're seeing some pretty serious competition go on. The reality, though, is we do have the shriekometer turned up. The Monica Lewinsky 2 thing is happening. And I think part of the reasons it's happening is they're trying to cover up some very serious things that are going on. Another thing is, if you look at the real issues that the campaigns are squabbling about, there are a lot of serious issues that they're squabbling about. And so we're really getting some serious policy things, but there's no doubt in terms of entertainment, which the media prefers, or getting people engaged, there's no doubt that sex works. So we saw last Friday the Billy Bush dirt fly out on Trump, followed then by Trump doing a press conference with three of Bill Clinton's either rape or sexual harassment victims, and one of the a woman who was raped as a 12-year-old, as a child, and Hillary represented her rapist and got them off, and appears from audios that have been published on the internet that she knew that the rapist or pedophile, whichever you want to call the person, was in fact guilty. So the sexual smear is flying, and it's getting pretty amazing and ridiculous. I have to say that this is going to continue. The gloves really came off, though, in the Sunday debate when Trump said that if elected president, he would appoint a special prosecutor to look into Clinton's both obstruction of justice and some of the things going on, the pay-to-play around the foundation was the implication. And then shortly thereafter said if he was president, she'd be in jail. And it was very similar to when he went into saying that heavy schedules of vaccines may cause autism, or his comments on Common Core. You were seeing yet again something else that breaks the trance, because the Clintons have engaged in very, very significant criminality, and they've always skated. It's as though they're above the law. And the idea that they're not above the law was, of course, very enchanting to many people, including yours truly. But it breaks the trance. We have another 25 days. If you look at the potential of what could be dished out, it's quite significant. I did a review of a book called Traffic King, play on the word trafficking, about a pedophile who has been successfully prosecuted for it, Jeffrey Epstein, and Clinton was known to hang out with him in his estate in the Caribbean, and I believe it was the Caribbean, and the Trump has also been associated with him. And so if you look at, I'm assuming somebody does have a video from some of those goings on, and we'll just see if that, there's been intimations that one has been dumped out, but I don't know if those are credible or not. The reality is there's a lot of dirt that could fly, so hold on to your pants because this is far from over. I had said that there was a reasonable chance that Clinton might not make it to the end of the election. Unless somebody dumps out a Jeffrey Epstein video or her health turns down, it now looks like she is going to make it. And it certainly looks as though the major media and the Washington establishment has pulled around and is supporting her. However, the interesting thing about this campaign, and this was a campaign that I wanted to ensure that subscribers didn't spend a whole lot of time on, but the interesting thing about this campaign is that real issues are now finally really getting discussed. And let me talk about what some of those are. One is the state of the economy, and the state of the economy is getting serious. And needless to say, this squabble isn't helping, although we really need to have the squabble, because you're seeing all over the economy globally the all the different signals of the end of the debt growth model. When you have the end of the debt growth model and you start getting more nationalistic, as is happening around the world, and I think Trump is a you're basically watching a nationalist versus a globalist as part of this discussion. You know, the drumbeats of war start, and we are watching some serious manipulations behind the scenes related to Russia and what's going on in Syria. So that is a very serious drumbeat behind the shriek-o-meter here. So you've got war, shrinking resources, globalism versus nationalist. One of the positive things, you're seeing a real destruction of any trust in the corporate media. Now, the corporate media hasn't deserved any trust for quite a long time, but it's good to see their reputation catch and market share catching up with what is deserved. The most important part of the conversation is, are we going to be a human civilization or are we going to be an inhuman civilization? And that's a very important conversation, because if you look at what's coming with what I've been describing as the cut and run or the possibility of a constitutional convention, let's pray it doesn't happen, or some of the more bizarre things going on like the spraying with chemtrails, you have a leadership group that's really moving towards building an inhuman civilization. Someone pointed out one of the top stories in the third quarter was NBC promoting microchips, and Joseph and I talk a lot about that and related stories in the interview tonight. And someone just pointed out, a subscriber just pointed out to me, that Dr. Oz is now promoting that humans be chipped and children be chipped. This is very dangerous, insane stuff. You're talking about a slavery system. And when you put digital technology in someone, that creates the conditions to not only mind control them and manipulate them, but to track them as collateral, as, you know, if you're financing slaves. So this is very dangerous stuff, and it's very serious stuff. And we're at a turning point. And I think the, you know, that debate needs to happen. And it's been one of the most positive things. A lot of these different issues, whether it's guns or Common Core or vaccines or all these different issues, relates to human versus inhuman. We see a real effort to blame a variety of things on the Russians, the hacking of the DNC, hacking of the voting machines. I would be shocked and amazed if the Republicans are really, the Russians are really doing it. Not to say that the hacking might not be working through Russia, because if you look at how when I get hacked by American media, it's coming in from all over ISPs and systems all over the world. But we have now WikiLeaks dumping out, showing that John Podesta, the campaign manager, has investments which, you know, connect him to Putin indirectly. Of course, we're constantly reminded of the approval of the uranium deal by Clinton at Secretary of State, which gave the Russians, say, over a 20% interest in uranium in North America. So behind this, the president is indicating he's going to make a decision on what we're going to do, the next steps in Syria. So very serious things going on behind. My prediction is where we are now depends in this campaign on the military intelligence and covert infrastructure behind the two campaigns. Who can dish out the most video dirt? Who can rig the most computer voting machines? And who can turn on the most entrainment? It's not a pretty picture. It's impossible for me to tell, given where I'm sitting, which team's covert capacity is the strongest. Clearly, Clinton has the media, but we don't know what's happening on the covert side. So I don't think we know what's going to happen. But it's this discussion of human versus inhuman is very important, and I'm deeply grateful to Donald Trump for bringing down the trance on a lot of those issues. I have to give him credit. I never thought I would say a nice thing about Donald Trump, but here we are. The Rasmussen, let me just read you Rasmussen tonight, one of my favorite pollsters, if I have such a thing. The full results from Sunday night's debates are in, and Donald Trump has come from behind to take the lead over Clinton. The latest Rasmussen reports, White House Watch, national telephone and online survey shows Trump with 43% among likely U.S. voters to Clinton's 41% yesterday. Clinton still had a four-point lead over Trump, but that was down from 5 points on Tuesday, and her biggest lead ever of 7 points on Monday. So Trump seems to be pulling back ahead. There is an absolutely marvelous comment by John Rappaport, which I posted on Solari, I republished, called The Rise of the Deplorables, and I recommend it to you. I wanted to read some of it to you. Something is happening in America. Against all odds, people are seeing a coming dawn. In the darkness, new hope. And this hope is not being manufactured. This is not Obama hope. This is not sly wickedness. This is not wretchedness in disguise. This is not hate and revenge wearing a mask of share and care. This is what happens rarely when millions of decent people have reached the end of their rope, when their common sense about what is being done to destroy their country and their lives will not be denied. Will not be denied. And then he goes on pretty much about the Clintons. Evil money from lizard scum is being poured into an effort to start a civil war in America, to rip America apart. But suddenly there is the prospect of the center holding. Men and women of goodwill are finding their footing and their voices. This election is just one milestone along a road that is being shaped day by day. America is not a lacerated piece in a board game of global control. America is still its own. It's still a living dream. The ghouls who recoil in horror at glimpsing this dream are moving to the edge of the pit where they seek power from the abyss. But the abyss is remorseless and has no pity. It swallows whatever and whoever comes to it. Once America's grand poet Walt Whitman sang of the open road and the freedom that blossomed along its endless course. These songs never die. There is no final curtain. Against all odds, the deplorables are rising. Classic Rappaport. It's so good. I had a very long talk with Dark Journalist. It'll publish in a week or two. We recorded it earlier this week. And Dark Journalist Daniel said, I want to talk about the election. I said, only if we get to talk about the really deep, important issues. So we did. And so I go into all of this in that interview, if you're interested, when it publishes. I came to Boulder to film an interview with Regina Meredith, who does a wonderful show, very talented hostess of a TV show for Gaia. And she, after reading about the $9.3 trillion missing from the Department of Defense in 2015, she said, oh, I need something positive. So I created a list for her that we used as a basis of our discussion called the 10 Steps to Help You Navigate the Challenges Upon Us. And I'm going to publish it up in the, it'll be in the subscriber links by Friday. And so, and it includes some links to some of the materials at the Solari Report that I think can really help you figure out how to, you know, invest your time in being successful in this environment. Money and Markets, I'm really looking forward to Rambus's blockbuster chartology next week. If you look at markets across the board, it looks like we're in a potential meltdown. I would not assume that one is upon us. The fear porn guys are out shrieking, and even some of the establishment Wall Street guys are shrieking. I think it's a little bit early yet to, you know, to call the end of the world. So, but it's clear the markets look very weak. And given what's going on, given this debate between human and inhuman, you have different models warring about what the model is going to be that replaces the central banking warfare model. And this is a major conversation. And I'd much rather get the model right than keep the, you know, keep the markets ballooned. The U.S. dollar index is now down 1.19% for the year. That reflects the dollar coming back up, closing when we did the cut for Money and Markets at 97.57. So it's it looks like it's on its way to 100. If you look, in fact, sort of the combination of the U.S. dollar doing better in the meltdown, it smells like people are worried that war is coming. The British pound is getting hammered. I'm sure the UK exporters are feeling great about that. Fixed income has come off despite the dollar doing well. TLT, the long treasury ETF, now up 12.61%. It's been up as high as 19% for the year. The intermediate up just a tad over 6%. The bond aggregate up a tad over 5%. Junk still doing well at almost 13%. I couldn't sleep at night. A read of the Fed minutes indicates that you've got more people now pushing for rising interest rates, and that has implications for the fourth quarter. I think it's one of the reasons we've seen some of these things come off, including precious metals. Equities, the S&P now up 6.1% for the year. Home builders back down, not looking good for the Democrats, down 3.25% for the year. Europe is now off, down 2.53%. Germany still holding flat. Developed world still holding flat, essentially at a quarter point. And then North America, or developed markets minus North America, up just 6 basis points. China still up 6.27, just slightly ahead of the S&P. China, that's the large caps. The small caps are up 1.25%. And the emerging markets still doing strong away from China. Emerging market ETF up 15.28%. That's down. It's been higher, but still quite a performance. Commodities up 7.3%, the commodity index. Gold now up 18%, so it's come way down. Silver up 25%, so it's come down from 40% or more. Big question for me, and it's one of the reasons I really want to go through Rambus's chartology. Gold really does look like a buy here, but I'm waiting until I really pore over those charts, so we'll see what it looks like. Oil now down a little bit less than 1% for the year, so it's come back. The China exports are falling as concerns over demand grows. There's all sorts of signs popping out all over the place that the economy really is weak. But there are a lot of interesting investments going on while everybody's talking about slower growth and the end of the world. Lots of positive things are happening. To give you an example, one story from Bloomberg, Hyperloop One, a U.S. company formed to promote a radical new form of transport, has raised another $50 million and brought in a powerful Middle East backer as it races to become the first to build a workable system. The latest investment from Dubai ports operator DP World takes the total the company has raised to $160 million, though this only represents a fraction of the billions it will have to attract to succeed. So the idea is to start to build and prototype the Hyperloop. Goldman Sachs just launched a new website called Marcus. It's doing retail lending. It's a symptom of how flush the cash is and how eager the cash is to find any kind of yield. To think that Goldman Sachs would be in retail lending is just mind-boggling, but it shows you what they think they can do with software and artificial intelligence. The Wells Fargo CEO has now resigned, but the scandal continues. Our hero this week is Susan Sanders. If you go to Solaria, you'll see a message from Franklin. Our beloved Susan Sanders has passed. Longtime Salary Report subscribers know Franklin Sanders well. He's been doing the Precious Metals Market Report since we've started. He is a precious metals dealer in Middle Tennessee and has the Money Changer and one of my favorite newsletters, the Money Changer, as well. He also has a wonderful church, Christ Our Hope Church. And for those who know Franklin and his family, his wife Susan was... you've never met two people who were more in love. You know, they thought they'd married their dream boat, gone to heaven, and after 45-plus years of marriage, they were still deeply and romantically in love. It was quite amazing to watch. But very much partners. She was the bookkeeper for the business, very involved in the business and everything that he does. And for those of you who want to show your appreciation to Franklin, he's asked that donations be made in Susan's name to the jailhouse ministry, which is one of the finest, most exciting things I think is going on that I know about in Tennessee. Franklin doesn't believe in calling people deplorable. He's going into the prisons and doing his best to try and help people rebuild their lives, people who've really been treated as expendable and treated as deplorables. It's a wonderful thing he does. We had a Salary Report on the jailhouse ministry, and in Susan's honor, I've made it public and put it up back on the homepage. So anybody wants to learn about that jailhouse ministry, because if we're going to be a human society, there can be no such thing as a deplorable. Everybody is redeemable. Everyone can be restored. We have to... We have to bring God's love to every person, and as Mike Pence said in the debate, every human is sacred, and that has to just be a core value, otherwise we're going to end up in a very inhuman place. Let's go to the movies. I'm really feeling like inspiration and things that make me laugh. And if you like sports movies as much as I like sports movies, then you will really love Pelé, Birth of a Legend. It is the story of the early life and career of Pelé, the soccer player from Brazil, who is arguably one of the greatest athletes of the 20th century, and just a remarkable human being and a remarkable athlete. But one of the reasons I wanted to recommend this to you is it very much goes into the kind of approach and attitude we need if we're going to be successful in a period of extraordinary change. They have the soccer players have a way of playing that's called the Jinga, and it comes from the capoeira, which is a kind of martial arts that was developed by the slaves who broke free, ran off into the jungle. It's martial arts blended with dance, acrobatics, and music. And the Jinga on a soccer field is a way of running and swinging that, you just have to see the movie, but all I can tell you is it wins global championships, and it's Pelé was the master of it, and it's remarkable to watch them do it and use this really rock and roll, out of control, unpredictable, you know, it's sort of the athlete's version of jazz improvisation, and it's quite beautiful to watch. Anyway, Pelé, Birth of a Legend, it's one of the most inspiring movies I've seen recently. In fact, the one we're going to have next week is also deeply inspiring. So I can't wait for you to hear that one too. Our interview, our quote, great quote from Jack Ma of Alibaba, "War starts when trade stops." Couldn't agree more, which is why a lot of this sort of the negativity we've used to insist on a unipolar world has stopped a lot of trade, and it's one of the reasons we're hearing the drumbeats of war now, because when you use centralization to try and control in a way that shrinks the pie, then there are not enough resources to go around. The cash flows move down, and then people start talking about war. This week in the interview, it's part two of News Trends and Stories. It's a great discussion by Dr. Farrell and I. Last week, we did economy and financial markets and geopolitics. This week, we cover science and technology and the big questions. That includes a lot more on mind control and entrainment. As you know, if you listened last week, I'm very concerned about what we've been seeing happening in the Chuck E. Cheese brawls around the country. If you are not familiar with that, check it out on the website. We have it up in Top Picks. But we are seeing, I believe, the Kingsman kind of technology being prototyped in just small, minor ways. But when you prototype in this way, you're building up to something much bigger. And I think it's a very important discussion, so I encourage you to do it. The wrap out, the third quarter wrap out, will roll out in several parts. So it's news, trends, and stories part one and two last week and this week. Then we'll do the financial market roundup in combination with Rambus's blockbuster Chartology. That'll be next week. And then in the final week, we'll look at investment screening. Can we filter for productive companies? I'm very concerned as the debt finance growth model ends and the cash flows pull back, companies that aren't really fundamentally productive that are held up with government money that's going to go away or behavior that's got to go away, I think it's very important to screen out companies that don't have that fundamental productivity. So we're going to be talking about screening and how you do it. Ask Catherine. We have a lot of questions, so I'm going to talk real fast. Dear Catherine, the information that you share not only has changed my life, but has not only changed my life, but possibly even saved my life. First, I have no illusions about how the world works, going back to JFK, Japan disaster, 9/11, Dr. Gonzalez and Dr. Bradstreet's work. They're just a few of the examples of how the internet can open one's eyes. Catherine, your site is so unique in that it not only informs us of the world as it is, but keeps, but helps to illuminate how it could be. I'm writing to inform you of how much the information discovered on Solaria has changed my path going forward. I work at a corporate job, but also own a small family farm. I was in the process of getting out of farming when I ran upon an article on your site about regenerative farming, putting life back into our soils. After further educating myself, I'm the first and currently the only farmer in my county that has converted to biological farming instead of chemical farming. One of the main reasons I had decided to get out of farming was the fact that I could see how the current system was failing. Weeds are becoming out of control, becoming resistant to the toxic chemicals. I guess that's nature's way of fighting back. Buckminster Fuller once said, "Change happens when a new model makes the old model obsolete." When no one longer has to work the soil, no longer needs artificial fertilizers or chemicals, can produce superior results, the conventional farming model is dead. No wonder Monsanto is selling out, or as you said, cutting and running. Yeah, the combination of what you're describing and what's going to happen potentially with agriculture subsidies, given the budget changes, you can see why Monsanto wants to cut and run. Joel Salton says he believes biological farming could, not would, spread across this country in a little as 2 years. The change to our world would be profound. Livestock would be all pasture fed, 6 times more cattle per acre, no need for feedlots or corn for feed. Much land would have to be converted to produce biofuels, and thus many small biorefineries with millions of rural jobs. Health, because of your site, I've changed my diet to a ketone and diet. High fat, moderate protein, and very low carbs. Result, blood pressure dropped, blood sugar dropped, and I've lost 15 pounds so far. That is fabulous. When you published the annual report and had a picture of a person on a bike with the title of Breaking Away, I did not understand at the time how that would apply to me now. I now understand and have a new surge of energy and excitement for the future, not only for myself, but for my family, friends, and people throughout the world. That's great. You know, it's amazing how we don't understand the extent to which the system has really gotten us, you know, how much it shrunk our possibilities and how much we can re-expand them if we let go. Bottom line, turning off the TV and logging into Solaria will change your life, how you perceive the world, and quite possibly help change the world to model that almost every one of us would like to see. God bless you, Catherine. P.S. See you in Tulsa. Ooh, I'm so glad you're coming to Tulsa. We have a lot to talk about. Dear Catherine, could the longstanding gun violence be electronic entrainment? The 2013 This American Life examined teen gun violence at Harper HS Chicago. It did mention that some shootings were for no reason. And then the link. Yes, it absolutely could be. I think some of it is. We spent 5 months at Harper High School in Chicago, where last of what it means to live in the midst of all this gun violence, how teens As researcher Lauren Moray noted in Rwanda, the violence was due to electronic frequencies that resulted in familial killings followed by tribal killings. It's very much the Kingsman technology. So if you haven't watched the Kingsman, I apologize for asking you to watch something that violent, but I think it's very essential to understand the technology. Wonder if Sophia Smallstrom, brilliant researchers, looked into this, or Deborah, I think it's spelled Tavares, and then they give a link to Microwave Cooking Humanity, which is Tavares and Barry Trower. In fact, I believe one or more of those names mentioned is on the BiggerThanSnowden.com website, which I strongly recommend to you on electronic harassment. I believed that Rwanda was very much manipulated and that technology was involved. I always believed that Rwanda was a prototype. I would also note articles this week on defaults in car loans rising. I would also note that I believe that getting people to make big ticket purchases that couldn't afford houses or cars also involved entrainment. Hi, Catherine. Just FYI, I heard about a new documentary called Abacus, Small Enough to Jail. It describes the story of the Sung family, who ran a small family-owned bank in Chinatown in New York City. Their bank was the only bank to face criminal charges in the wake of 2008 financial crisis. I'm hoping it will eventually become available to watch online somehow. I can't wait to see it. That is an amazing story of a family who was treated brutally by the enforcement community. I think it was the Attorney General's office in New York, and really stood up. So, fascinating story, and I can't wait to see that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Hi, Catherine. Driving home listening to interview with George on Coast to Coast and you talking about spiritual warfare. It is the crux of why I made the choice to work as a janitor in a bank. I was conflicted on emailing you the first time about a vault in a bank being nothing more than a storage for seasonal decorations. I thought when I first started working for my past employer that being a naval officer, family man, church-going citizen, it would be an honor to work for him. Being an independent lumberyard, not a corporation, not being an automaton, in compromising in order to make a living. In some respects, that turned out to be true, but because of money in other respects, it was worse because he had more to lose, I think. Anyway, he goes into talking about how the slow burn is getting very thin. Good morning, Catherine. Thanks for the local economy interview and links. Fort Collins, Colorado, my hometown, has a good local food system in development. I had the intention to email you. Anyway, so they talk about how we ought to have lunch in Boulder. And in fact, a wonderful subscriber came and joined me this morning for breakfast at Turley's Kitchen in Boulder. So along with a wonderful subscriber from Aspen, who I'm hoping we're going to be more in cahoots with. Dear Catherine and Dr. Farrell, thanks to Catherine's warning re the approaching Constitutional Convention, I believe what is fast descending upon this nation. They then go into talking about how there are friendly ETs that are going to help us and all sorts of complicated stuff that I never count on anybody showing up and helping us. I think we have to help ourselves. And I also believe because the universe is fundamentally spiritual, if we help ourselves, then the spiritual forces that really have the power on this universe will align with us. So I look to spiritual powers more than I look to whoever is flying around in the sky. Dear Catherine, in the immortal words of Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste. So do you think that the Obama override, which will open up a lot of lawsuits against Saudi Arabia and lawsuits by other countries against the U.S., will be used as a cover for the U.S. to commit financial shenanigans and shell games? It could. The dangerous thing about this, even though there's very tight court control, is these lawsuits can be used by different factions to fight. And right now, the mini-night thing is happening. And this can really exacerbate the Midianite thing. So I was kind of surprised it happened, and I would love to have more inside information on what really went down. It wouldn't be surprising to see somebody reverse that. Dear Catherine, thank you for your excellent interview with Joseph Farrell, published this week. I follow each of you closely. Now that the media is going bonkers over the release of Trump's remarks he made in 2005 or thereabouts, do we now have Lewinsky 3? No, I think this is all part of Lewinsky 2. This brouhaha is a total distraction from the critical issues that you address in your most recent interview, in my opinion. Actually, I think there are a couple reasons why they're all getting into the sex stuff again. You know, obviously the big one is it's much more entertaining. Two, if you throw around the sex stuff, it doesn't splatter on the rest of the establishment as badly. If you get into where all the money went on the Clinton Foundation, you could really rock a lot of boats and create a lot of criminal liability for a lot of people. So the sex kind of keeps it more sculpted, if you will. But the other thing is the Hillary Clinton has made such a big thing about the women's card and being the first woman and all sorts of political correct stuff. That then you start to get into the personal moral issues. You know, Clintons know that Trump's going to get into the Bill Clinton's really dreadful history on this area. And so projective identification says you attack first. And so I think that was part of what was happening. There's one rumor that Trump dumped the tape out early because he knew they were going to dump it out right before the election. Who knows what's really true, but this stuff is going to fly. And as I said, if you look at what could fly compared to what has flown, you know, we've seen nothing yet. So if they really bring out the dirt, it's, you know, we could get pedophilia and all that stuff. So would you be interested and willing to do an in-depth piece on the fact that since we've been living under a state of emergency since 9/11, the Constitution is in abeyance, a situation that will continue as long as the Congress decides to end the state of emergency. I think I have this right. It's clear I need to, two issues I really need to do a salary report on. One is transhumanism, because we're really getting down to the nitty-gritty on human versus inhuman. But we also need a constitutional, an attorney who's expert at constitutional issues to come in and talk about both the state of emergency and what's up with the push for a constitutional convention. Finally, what is the heavenly music that you use as a prelude to your interview? It is Bach, but which piece? I sent out by email the list of sort of where we source the music, hopefully that'll get it for you at some point. I should put it up on the website. Anyway, I wish you could join us in Oklahoma, boy. That would be great. Hi, Catherine. I proposed last evening, I listened last evening to your news and trends, and I agree with your concern about the proposed effort to give the CDC the ability to detain us for any vague reason and shoot us with who knows what. I feel the connection between this effort and the obvious reporting of the Zika scare and entrainment operation for certain. My question is, do you have any recommendations for our being able to stop this? I have two health freedom newsletters asking for us to write our congresspeople. There's been very little news about this except for you and John. Any other suggestions? Thanks again for your efforts to wake and empower the people. I always believe that writing Congress, your congressman is a good idea. Also calling the staff. You need to be prepared to do that, but these things really do make a difference. I would also network locally and find out what the plans look like at the local first responder, because we're also going to have to grapple with this at the local level. So you want to know how these plans work locally, and I have it on my list to kind of find out how that's going to work where I live. But this one is particularly dangerous, but we're going to need our state and local legislators and our local sheriff to be on our side about this one. Dear Catherine, in your third quarter wrap-up with Joseph Farrell, I perked up hearing Joseph's mention of the Philippine president's actions vis-a-vis the U.S. He is so right about this being a huge thing. And then a much longer description. It is a very big thing because the Philippines has a very strategic position in the South China Sea and everything we're doing in the South China Sea. And the last thing we can afford is to lose another critical ally. So what is happening in the Philippines is very important. Continuing to watch the region for the next moves by China and Russia as this little country's maverick leader seems to be getting out from under the skirts of the USA finally, if true. But the big question is, will he last in his position beyond 2017 if he's truly ripping apart the U.S. hegemony in the region? It's no way to know. It's very fluid. The U.S. is spread very thin right now. I wanted to bring up, because someone had sent it in, there's a long piece in Abundance 360 on quantum computing. I think quantum computing is very important. And quantum computing is going to give the players who master it and have capacity tremendous advantage against everyone else. You combine quantum computing with some of the other technologies, including artificial intelligence, and you've got massive advantages. And if you look at who's doing the quantum computing, it's IBM, it's Google, it's all the guys we worry about anyway. So I would definitely take some time. I put a little video and link up on quantum computing and topics, and I think that's a development we're all going to have to keep an eye on and understand. Next question. Just in case anyone thinks that recent events are on stage, the WWE playbook, that's the wrestling, and they sent a link of Donald Trump and one of the promoters of the Worldwide Wrestling doing sort of a staged event. Thank you for your excellent analysis and excellent interview with Greg Hunter. Monica Lewinsky 2.0 indeed. Yep, it's upon us. Let's see. Next, more whistleblowing on the chemtrails and geoengineering. So I have that in the script if you're interested. Thank you for sending that. There's a lot that's coming out now about what's in it, what's it's doing to your body, how it connects to mind control, weather control, and some of the more bizarre technologies that, yes, really are happening. Dear Catherine, here's an interesting story from NPR, and it's another one on the Philippine president. Thank you for sending that. Then another a question and response about the MENA, Arkansas. Tom Cruise has been making a movie about MENA, Arkansas. One of the planes on the set, which was being flown by his double, I believe crashed and was killed. And now the movie is being postponed, which doesn't surprise me. I'm sure the last thing the Clintons want during the campaign is have to explain what happened in MENA, Arkansas. Anyway, so they say, I know Trump will never win, but I will so enjoy the next few weeks as someone finally has the guts to take on the Clinton machine. I would not count Trump out yet. Again, I think what happens is very much related to the covert infrastructure behind them, and I can't see clearly who's got the stronger, and I don't know that Trump doesn't have that capacity. So, and as I said, if certain kinds of videos, even audios, get dumped out, I think it could really destroy one team versus the other. So we're just going to have to see. And at this point, I think the Clintons are much more vulnerable since Trump doesn't have the media and now is getting the benefit of the media and sort of the Washington elites being against him. And in one sense, it's working in his favor. Dear Catherine, in my small town, Walmart rules. I've noticed something odd with the supply level. The shelves just aren't fully stocked on a consistent basis like they used to be. The dry food shelves and the frozen food shelves have a lot of empty spaces. They don't fully stock shredded cheeses. Yes, you can get shredded cheese, but not the brand and flavor you want. The one thing you can get in abundance is highly processed cake. It's everywhere. At least in Marie Antoinette's day, the cake was homemade. I'm seeing this everywhere except for the really wealthy 3.0 areas. But you're seeing this, I would say, in the 70% of what I'm watching when I travel. And you certainly see it in the Walmarts back where I live. Dear Catherine, despite the fact that the people here in the U.S. are very angry today about politics and their government, we typically don't see the same kind of protests and civil disruptions that we saw happening back in the 1960s. Would you say that a major reason for this would be there's better control and manipulation of our population today through the media? I would say no, there's better control and manipulation of our people today through media, telecommunications, the internet, TV, anything electronic. So airwaves, Once you put the cell tower network in place, it became much more invasive and much more universal. The other thing is, I think most people in America understand that a lot of that kind of behavior is not an effective use. There are a lot of risks associated with it because of the covert operations and the surveillance, but it's also not an effective use of their time. And so a lot of the things that they can do to bring about real change in this world won't come from those kinds of behaviors. Dear Catherine, you've mentioned that the debt growth model is over. With this in mind, explain what will now happen differently if our government continues implementing quantitative easing. You're just going to get a lot less bounce for the dollar, so debasement will accelerate. You're going to have low income growth or incomes falling. Charles Hugh Smith estimates we have 7% inflation. That's quite a squeeze if your income is flat or falling and inflation is growing. In addition, you have the shadow work rising. You have debasement of the environment continuing. So those are causing your expenses, whether it's your time and money, to go up. So the combination is a serious squeeze. And the reality is you can't keep the slow burn going now without overhauling institutions. And that means you're going to have systemic changes, including in people's cash flows. So you're going to see a lot more implosion and a lot more change. Again, I'm going to post the 10 steps to help you navigate the challenge upon us. There's plenty of things we can do. If the leadership is going to be overhauling institutions, we can do that bottom up. That's where a lot of the opportunity is, because there's extraordinary time and money that's being absolutely wasted. So in there are some hints and quick ideas on some of the overhauling of institutions. I included some of them as well in my discussion of the local economy. So take a look and remember, only focus on those that give you energy. And please don't feel obligated to do anything because, quote unquote, it's the right thing to do. Just do things that lower your expenses, increase your revenues, or otherwise save you time or give you energy. Okay, that's it for this week. Please listen to the interview. It's news trends and stories. Part one and two are excellent. Again, we have a web presentation backing it up with a list of all the trends and links to all the stories. And it's just scanning that and listening to Joseph and I sort of chew through that list is a great way to understand and be current on what's going on with a de minimis amount of your time and remarkably little disinformation. Okay, next week, Rambus Blockbuster Chartology combined with my equity overview. The following week, we'll be doing the big theme for the third quarter wrap-up investment screening. Can we screen for productive companies? And then my great ally from down under, Australian Jason Bowden-Smith, is going to be joining me on November 3rd, Protecting Against EMF Radiation. He's got a great new book called In the Dark. And we're going to be talking about what you and I can do to protect ourselves and those we love from the impact of EMF radiation. So until next week with Rambus Chartology and the third quarter equity overview, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.